the law. But 'tis not so above. There is no shuffling. There the action lies in his true nature, and we ourselves compelled, even to the teeth and forehead of our faults, to give in evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can. What can it not? Yet what can it when one cannot repent? Oh, wretched state! Oh, bosom black as death! Oh, limed soul that, struggling to be free, art more engaged! Help, angels! Make essay. Bow stubborn knees, and heart with strings of steel, be soft as sinews of the new-born babe. All may be well.
The king kneels to pray. Hamlet enters.
Our Father, heaven forfend in all thy spirits.
Mercy. Now might I do it, Pat. Now he is a-praying. And now I'll do it. And so he goes to heaven, and so am I revenged. That will be scanned. A villain kills my father, and for that I, his sole son, do this same villain send to heaven. Why, this is hire and salary, not revenge. He took my father grossly, full of bread, with all his crimes broad-blown as flush as May. And how his audit stands, who knows, save heaven? But in our circumstance and course of thought, 'tis heavy with him. And am I then revenged, to take him in the purging of his soul, when he is fit and seasoned for his passage? No. Up, sword, and know thou a more horrid hint. When he is drunk asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed, at gaming, a swearing, or about some act that has no relish of salvation in't, then trip him, that his heels may kick at heaven, and that his soul may be as damned and black as hell whereto it goes. My mother stays. This physic but prolongs thy sickly days.
Hamlet leaves.
My words fly up. My thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go.
Thank you.
Act 3, Scene 4, The Queen's Chamber. Gertrude and Polonius enter.
He will come straight. Look, you lay home to him. Tell him his pranks have been too broad to bear with, and that your grace hath screened and stood between much heat and him. I'll silence me even here. Pray you be round.
Mother! Mother!
I'll warrant you. Fear me not.
Mother!
Withdraw! I hear him coming.
Polonius hides behind a tapestry. Hamlet enters.
Now, Mother, what's the matter?
Hamlet, thou hast thy father much offended.
Mother, you have my father much offended.
Come, come, you answer with an idle tongue.
Go, go, you question with a wicked tongue.
Why, how now, Hamlet?
What's the matter now?
Have you forgot me?
No, by the rood, not so. You are the queen, your husband's brother's wife. And would it were not so, you are my mother.
Nay, then, I'll set those to you that can speak.
Come, come, and sit you down. You shall not budge. You go not till I set you up a glass where you may see the inmost part of you.
What wilt thou do? Thou wilt not murder me? Help! Ho!
What ho? Help!
Huh? How now? A rat? Dead for a ducat! Dead! Oh.
Hamlet draws his sword and plunges it into the tapestry.
I am slain!
Me! What hast thou done?
Nay, I know not. Is it the king?
Oh, what a rash and bloody deed is this!
A bloody deed? Almost as bad, good mother, as kill a king and marry with his brother.
As kill a king?
Aye, lady, it was my word.
Hamlet pulls the tapestry aside to reveal the dead body of Polonius.
Thou wretched, rash, intruding fool, farewell. I took thee for thy better. Take thy fortune. Thou find'st to be too busy is some danger. Leave wringing of your hands. Peace, sit you down, and let me wring your heart. For so I shall, if it be made of penetrable stuff. If damned custom have not brazed it so that it be proof and bulwark against sense.
What have I done that thou darest wag thy tongue in noise so rude against me?
Such an act that blurs the grace and blush of modesty, calls virtue hypocrite, takes off the rose from the fair forehead of an innocent love and sets a blister there. Makes marriage vows as false as dies' oaths. Oh, such a deed, as from the body of contraction plucks the very soul, and sweet religion makes a rhapsody of words. Heaven's face does glow o'er this solidity and compound mass with tristful visage, as against the doom is thought sick of the act.
Ay me! What act that roars so loud and thunders in the index?
Look here upon this picture. And on this, the counterfeit presentment of two brothers. See what a grace was seated on this brow. Hyperion's curls. The front of Jove himself. An eye like Mars to threaten and command, a station like the herald Mercury new lighted on a heaven-kissing hill, a combination and a form indeed, where every god did seem to set his seal to give the world assurance of a man. This was your husband. Look you now what follows. Here is your husband. Like a mildewed ear blasting his wholesome brother. Have you eyes? Could you on this fair mountain leave to feed and batten on this moor? Huh? Have you eyes? You cannot call it love. For at your age the heyday in the blood is tame, it's humble, and waits upon the judgment. And what judgment would step from this to this?
Sense, sure you have, else could you not have motion? But sure, that sense is apoplexed. For madness would not err, nor sense to ecstasy was ne'er so thralled, but it reserved some quantity of choice to serve in such a difference. What devil wast that thus hath cozened you at Hoodman Blind? Eyes without feeling, feeling without sight, ears without hands or eyes, smelling sans all. Oh, but a sickly part of one true sense could not so mope. Oh, shame, where is thy blush? Rebellious hell, if thou canst mutiny in a matron's bones, to flaming youth let virtue be as wax, and melt in our own fire. Proclaim no shame when the compulsive ardour gives the charge, since frost itself as actively doth burn, and reason panders will.
Oh, Hamlet, speak no more. Thou turn'st mine eyes into my very soul, and there I see such black and grained spots as will not leave their tinct.
Nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an ensemed bed, stewed in corruption, honeying and making love o'er the nasty sty.
Oh, speak to me no more. These words like daggers enter in my ears. No more, sweet Hamlet.
A murderer and a villain, a slave that is not 20th part the tithe of your precedent, lord, a vice of kings, a cut-purse of the empire and the rule, that from a shelf the precious diadem stole and put in his pocket.
No more!
A king of shreds and patches!
The ghost enters.
Oh! Save me! And overawe me with your wings, you heavenly guards! What would your gracious figure?
Alas! He's mad!
Do you not come your tardy son to chide? That lapsed in time and passion lets go by the important acting of your dread command. Oh, say!
Do not forget! This visitation is but to whet thy almost blunted purpose. But look, amazement on thy mother sits. Oh, step between her and her fighting soul. Conceit in weakest bodies, strongest works. Speak to her, Hamlet.
How is it with you, lady?
Alas, how is it with you? That you do bend your eye on vacancy, and with the incorporeal air do hold discourse. Forth at your eyes your spirits wildly peep, and as the sleeping soldiers in the alarm, your bedded hair, like life in excrements, start up and stand an end. Oh, gentle sun, upon the heat and flame of thy distemper, sprinkle cool patience. Whereon do you look?
On him! On him! Look you how pale he glares! His form and cause conjoined, preaching to stones would make them capable. Oh, he do not look upon me, lest with this piteous action you convert my stern effects. Then what I have to do will want true colour, tears perchance for blood.
To whom do you speak this?
Do you see nothing there?
Nothing at all. Yet all that is, I see.
Nor did you nothing hear?
No, nothing but ourselves.
Why, look you there, look how it steals away. My father, in his habit as he lived. Look where he goes even now, out of the portal.
The ghost leaves.
This is the very coinage of your brain. This bodiless creation ecstasy is very cunning in.
My pulse, as yours, doth temperately keep time and makes us healthful music. It is not madness that I have uttered. Bring me to the test, and either matter will reword which madness would gamble from. Mother, For the love of grace, lay not that flattering unction to your soul, that not your trespass, but my madness speaks. It will but skin and film the ulcerous place, whilst rank corruption, mining all within, infects unseen. Confess yourself to heaven. Repent what's past, avoid what's to come. And do not spread the compost on the weeds to make them ranker. Forgive me this, my virtue. For in the fatness of these pursy times, virtue itself of vice must pardon beg. Yea, curb and woo for leave to do him good.
Oh, Hamlet, thou hast cleft my heart in twain.
Oh, throw away the worser part of it, and live the purer with the other half. Good night. But go not to mine uncle's bed. Assume a virtue if you have it not. That monster, custom, who all sense doth eat of habits evil, is angel yet in this, that to the use of actions fair and good he likewise gives a frock, or livery, that aptly is put on. Refrain tonight, and that shall lend a kind of easiness to the next abstinence, the next more easy. For use almost can change the stamp of nature, and either lodge the devil or throw him out with wondrous potency. Once more, good night. And when you are desirous to be blessed, how blessing beg of you. For this same Lord, I do repent. But heaven hath pleased it so to punish me with this and this with me, that I must be their scourge and minister. I will bestow him and answer well the death I gave him. So, again, good night. I must be cruel only to be kind. This bad begins and worse remains behind. One word more, good lady.
What shall I do?
Not this, by no means, that I bid you do. Let the bloat king tempt you again to bed, pinch wanton on your cheek, call you his mouse, and let him, for a pair of reachy kisses, or paddling in your neck with his damned fingers, make you to ravel all this matter out, that I essentially am not in madness, but mad in craft. 'Twere good you let him know. For who that's but a queen, fair, sober, wise, would from a paddock, from a vat, a jib, such dear concernings hide? Who would do so? No, in despite of sense and secrecy, unpeg the basket on the house's top, let the birds fly. And like the famous ape, to try conclusions, in the basket creep and break your own neck down.
Be thou assured, if words be made of breath, and breath of life, I have no life to breathe what thou hast said to me.
I must to England, you know that.
Alack, I had forgot. 'Tis so concluded on.
There's letters sealed, and my two schoolfellows, whom I will trust as I will adders fanged, they bear the mandate. They must sweep my way and marshal me to knavery. Let it work. What is the sport to have the engineer hoist with his own petard? And shall go hard, but I will delve 1 yard below their minds and blow them at the moon. Though 'tis most sweet when in one line 2 crafts directly meet. This man shall set me packing. I'll lug the guts into the neighbor room. Mother, good night indeed. This counselor is now most still, most secret, and most grave, who was in life a foolish prating knave. Come, sir, to draw toward an end with you.
Good night, Mother.
Hamlet leaves, dragging Polonius's body. Act 4, Scene 1. A room in Elsinore Castle. The Queen is in the room when the King enters with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
There's matter in these sighs, these profound heaves you must translate. 'Tis fit we understand them. Where is your son?
Bestow this place on us a little while.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern leave.
Oh, mine own lord, what have I seen tonight?
What, Gertrude? How does Hamlet?
Mad as the sea and wind when both contend which is the mightier. In his lawless fit, behind the arras, hearing something stir, whips out his rapier, cries, "A rat! A rat!" And in this brainish apprehension, kills the unseen good old man.
Oh, heavy deed. It had been so with us had we been there. His liberty is full of threats to all, to you, yourself, to us, to everyone. Alas, how shall this bloody deed be answered? It will be laid to us, whose providence should have kept short, restrained, and out of haunt this mad young man. But so much was our love, we would not understand what was most fit, but like the owner of a foul disease, to keep it from divulging, let it feed, even on the pith of life. Where is he gone?
To draw apart the body he hath killed, or whom his very madness, like some ore among a mineral of metals base, shows itself pure. He weeps for what is done.
Oh, Gertrude, come away. The sun no sooner shall the mountains touch, but we will ship him hence, and this vile deed we must with all our majesty and skill both countenance and excuse. Ho, Guildenstern!
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern return.
Friends both, go join you with some further aid. Hamlet in madness hath Polonius slain, and from his mother's closet hath he dragged him. Go seek him out, speak fair, and bring the body into the chapel. I pray you haste in this.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern leave.
Come, Gertrude. We'll call up our wisest friends and let them know both what we mean to do and what's untimely done. So envious slander, whose whisper o'er the world's diameter, as level as the cannon to his blank transports his poison shot, may miss our name and hit the woundless air. Oh, come away. My soul is full of discord and dismay.
Act 4, Scene 2. A room in Elsinore Castle. Hamlet enters.
Safely stowed.
Hamlet!
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 But soft, what noise?
Who calls on Hamlet?
Oh, here they come.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern enter with soldiers.
What have you done, my lord, with the dead body?
Compounded it with dust whereto 'tis kin.
Tell us where 'tis, that we may take it thence and bear it to the chapel.
Do not believe it.
Believe what?
That I can keep your counsel and not mine own. Besides, to be demanded of a sponge, what replication should be made by the son of a king?
Take you me for a sponge, my lord?
Aye, sir, that soaks up the king's countenance, his rewards, his authorities. But such officers do the king best service in the end. He keeps them like an ape does nuts in the corner of his jaw. Nom, 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 nom. First mouthed to be last swallowed. When he needs what you have gleaned, it is but squeezing you and... Sponge, you shall be dry again.
I understand you not, my lord.
I am glad of it. A knavish speech sleeps in a foolish ear.
My lord, you must tell us where the body is and go with us to the king.
The body is with the king, but the king is not with the body. The king is a thing...
A thing, my lord.
Of nothing. Bring me to him.
Act 4, Scene 3. A room in Elsinore Castle. The king enters with courtiers.
I have sent to seek him and to find the body. How dangerous is it that this man goes loose? Yet must not we put the strong law on him? He's loved of the distracted multitude, who like not in their judgment but their eyes. And where 'tis so, the offender's scourge is weighed, but never the offence. To bear all smooth and even, this sudden sending him away must seem deliberate pause. Diseases desperate grown by desperate appliance are relieved, or not at all.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern enter, followed by attendants.
How now? What hath befallen?
Where the dead body is bestowed, my lord, we cannot get from him.
But where is he?
Without, my lord, guarded, to know your pleasure.
Bring him before us.
Ho! Bring in the lord!
Hamlet is brought on by soldiers.
Now, Hamlet, where's Polonius?
At supper.
At supper?
Hmm.
Where?
Not where he eats, but where he's eaten. A certain convocation of politic worms are e'en at him. Your worm is your only emperor for diet. We fat all creatures else to fat us, and we fat ourselves for maggots. Your fat king and your lean beggar is but variable service. Two dishes but to one table. That's the end.
Alas, alas.
A man may fish with the worm that hath eat of a king, and eat of the fish that hath fed of that worm.
What dost thou mean by this?
Nothing, but to show you how a king may go a progress through the guts of a beggar.
Where is Polonius?
In heaven, send thither to see. If your messenger find him not there, seek him in the other place yourself. But if indeed you find him not within this month, you shall nose him as you go up the stairs into the lobby.
Go seek him there.
Servants leave to look for the body.
He will stay till you come.
Hamlet, this deed for thine especial safety, which we do tender, as we dearly grieve for that which thou hast done, must send thee hence with fiery quickness. Therefore prepare thyself. The bark is ready, and the wind at help, the associates tend, and everything is bent for England.
For England?
Aye, Hamlet.
Good.
So is it, if thou knewest our purposes.
I see a cherub that sees them. But come, for England. Farewell, dear mother.
Thy loving father, Hamlet.
My mother. Father and mother is man and wife. Man and wife is one flesh. So, my mother. Come, for England.
Hamlet leaves.
Follow him at foot. Tempt him with speed aboard. Delay it not, I'll have him hence tonight. Away, for everything is sealed and done that else leans on the affair. Pray you make haste.
Everyone leaves except for Claudius.
And England, if my love thou hold'st at aught, as my great power thereof may give thee sense, since yet thy cicatrice looks raw and red after the Danish sword, and thy free oar pays homage to us, thou mayest not coldly set our sovereign process, which imports at full by letters conjuring to that effect, the present death of Hamlet. Do it, England. For like the hectic in my blood he rages, and thou must cure me. Till I know 'tis done, however my haps, my joys were ne'er begun.
The king leaves. Act 4, Scene 4. The coastal road some way from the castle. The Norwegian army is marching and Fortinbras enters with a captain.
Go, captain. From me greet the Danish king. Tell him that by his license Fortinbras craves the conveyance of a promised march over his kingdom. You know the rendezvous. If that his majesty would aught with us, we shall express our duty in his eye. Let him know so.
I will do it, my lord.
Go softly on.
All leave except for the captain. Hamlet enters with Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and various attendants.
Good sir, whose powers are these?
They are of Norway, sir.
How purposed, sir, I pray?
Against some part of Poland.
Who commands them, sir?
The nephew to old Norway, Fortinbras.
Goes it against the main of Poland, sir, or for some frontier?
Truly to speak, with no addition, we go to gain a little patch of ground that hath in it no profit but the name. To pay 5 ducats, 5, I would not farm it. Nor will it yield to Norway or the Pole a ranker rate should it be sold in fee.
Why, then the Polack will never defend it.
Yes, it's already garrisoned.
2,000 souls and 20,000 ducats will not debate the question of this straw. This is the imposthume of much wealth and peace that inward breaks and shows no cause without why the man dies. I humbly thank you, sir.
Goodbye, you, sir.
The captain leaves.
Will it please you go, my lord?
I'll be with you straight, go a little before.
All leave except for Hamlet.
How all occasions do inform against me and spur my dull revenge. What is a man, if his chief good and market of his time be but to sleep and feed? A beast, no more. Sure, he that made us with such large discourse, looking before and after, gave us not that capability and godlike reason to fast in us unused. Now, whether it be bestial oblivion, or some craven scruple of thinking too precisely on the event, a thought which, quartered, hath but one part wisdom and ever 3 parts coward, I do not know why yet I live to say this thing's to do, sit I have cause and will and strength and means to do it. Examples gross as earth exhort me. Witness this army of such mass and charge, led by a delicate and tender prince, whose spirit, with divine ambition puffed, makes mouths at the invisible event, exposing what is mortal and unsure to all that fortune, death, and danger dare.
even for an eggshell.
Rightly, to be great is not to stir without great argument, but greatly to find quarrel in a straw when honour's at the stake. How stand I, then, that have a father killed, a mother stained, excitements of my reason and my blood, and let all sleep, while, to my shame, I see the imminent death of 20,000 men, that, for a fantasy and trick of fame, go to their graves like beds, fight for a plot whereon the numbers cannot try the cause, which is not tomb enough and continent to hide the slain. Oh, from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody, or be nothing worth.
Act 4, Scene 5. The King's Apartments in Elsinore Castle. Gertrude enters with Horatio and a gentleman.
I will not speak with her.
She is importunate, indeed distract. Her mood will needs be pitied.
What would she have?
She speaks much of her father, says she hears there's tricks in the world, and hems and beats her heart, spurns enviously at straws, speaks things in doubt that carry but half sense. Her speech is nothing, yet the unshaped use of it doth move the hearers to collection. They aim at it, and botch the words up fit to their own thoughts, which, as her winks and nods and gestures yield them, indeed would make one think there might be thought, though nothing sure, yet much unhappily.
'Twere good she were spoken with, for she may strew dangerous conjectures in ill-breeding minds.
Let her come in.
The gentleman leaves.
To my sick soul, as sin's true nature is, each toy seems prologue to some great amiss. So full of artless jealousy is guilt, it spills itself in fearing to be spilt.
Ophelia enters. She looks wild.
Where is the beauteous majesty of Denmark?
How now, Ophelia?
How should I your true love know from another one? By his cockle hat and staff and his sandal shoe.
Alas, sweet lady, what imports this song?
Say you, nay, pray you mark! He is dead and gone, lady. He is dead and gone. At his head a grass-green turf. At his heels a stone.
Nay, but Ophelia.
Pray you, mark. White his shroud as the mountain snow.
The king enters.
Alas, look here, my lord.
Larded with sweet flowers, which bewept to the grave, did not go with true love showers.
How do you, pretty lady?
Well, God held you. They say the owl was a baker's daughter. Lord, we know what we are, but know not what we may be. God be at your table.
Conceit upon her father.
Pray, let's have no more words of this. But when they ask you what it means, say you this. Tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day, all in the morning betime, and I am made at your window to be your valentine. Then up he rose and donned his clothes and docked the chamber door. Let in the maid, let out a maid, never departed more.
Pretty Ophelia.
Indeed, without an oath, I'll make an entente. By gifts and by Saint Charity, alack and fie for shame. Young men will do it if they come to it. By cock they are to blame. Quoth she, before you tumbled me, you promised me to wed. He answers, so would I had done by yonder sun, and thou hadst not come to my bed.
How long hath she been thus?
I hope all will be well. We must be patient. But I cannot choose but weep to think they would lay him in the cold ground. My brother shall know of it, and so I thank you for your good counsel. Come, my coach. Good night, ladies. Good night, sweet ladies. Good night. Good night.
Ophelia leaves.
Follow her close. Give her good watch, I pray you.
Horatio leaves.
Oh, this is the poison of deep grief. It springs all from her father's death, and now, behold. Oh, Gertrude, Gertrude, when sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions. First her father slain, next your son gone, and he most violent author of his own just remove, the people muddied, thick and unwholesome in their thoughts and whispers, for good Polonius' death, and we have done but greenly in Huggermugger to inter him. Poor Ophelia, divided from herself and her fair judgment, without the which we are pictures or mere beasts. Last, and as much containing as all these, her brother is in secret come from France, feeds on his wonder, keeps himself in clouds, wants not buzzers to infect his ear, with pestilent speeches of his father's death, wherein necessity of matter beggared will nothing stick our person to a rein in ear and ear. Oh, my dear Gertrude, this, like to a murdering piece, in many places give me superfluous death.
Alack, what noise is this?
Attend, where is my Switzers? Let them guard the door.
A messenger enters.
What is the matter?
Save yourself, my lord. The ocean, overpeering of his list, eats not the flats with more impetuous haste than young Laertes in a riotous head o'erbears your offices. The rabble call him lord, and as the world were now but to begin, antiquity forgot, custom not known, the ratifiers and props of every word, they cry, choose we, Laertes shall be king. Caps, hands and tongues applaud it to the clouds, Laertes shall be king, Laertes king.
Cheerfully on the false trail they cry. Oh, this is counter, you false Danish dogs.
The doors are broke.
Laertes storms Claudius's chambers, followed by many supporters.
Where is this king? Sirs, stand you all without.
No, let's come in.
I pray you give me leave.
We will.
We will.
I thank you. Keep the door.
Laertes' followers leave with the messenger.
Oh, thou vile king, give me my father.
Calmly, good Laertes.
That drop of blood that's calm proclaims me bastard, cries cuckold to my father, brands the harlot even here between the chaste, unsmirched brow of my true mother.
What is the cause, Laertes, that thy rebellion looks so giant-like? Let him go, Gertrude. Do not fear our person. There's such divinity doth hedge a king, that treason can but peep to what it would, acts little of his will. Tell me, Laertes, why thou art thus incensed? Let him go, Gertrude. Speak, man.
Where is my father?
Dead.
But not by him.
Let him demand his fill.
How came he dead? I'll not be juggled with. To hell, allegiance, vows to the blackest devil, conscience and grace to the profoundest pit I dare, damnation. To this point I stand, that both the worlds I give to negligence. Let come what comes, only I'll be revenged most thoroughly for my father.
Who shall stay you?
My will, not all the worlds. And for my means, I'll husband them so well, they shall go far with little.
Good Laertes, if you desire to know the certainty of your dear father's death, is't writ in your revenge that sweepstake you will draw both friend and foe, winner and loser?
None but his enemies.
Will you know them then?
To his good friends, thus wide I'll ope my arms, and, like the kind life-rendering pelican, riposte them with my blood.
Why? Now you speak like a good child and a true gentleman. That I am guiltless of your father's death, and am most sensibly in grief for it, it shall as level to your judgment peer as day does to your eye. Let her come in.
How now? What noise is that?
Ophelia enters, carrying wild flowers.
Oh, heat, dry up my brains. Tears seven times salt burn out the sense and virtue of mine eye. By heaven, thy madness shall be paid with weight till our scale turn the beam. Oh, rose of May! Dear maid, kind sister, sweet Ophelia. Oh, heavens, is't possible a young maid's wits should be as mortal as an old man's life? Nature is fine in love, and where 'tis fine, it sends some precious instance of itself after the thing it loves.
Nay, bore him barefaced on the bier. Hey, nonny, nonny, hey, nonny. And in his grave rained many a tear. Fare you well, my love.
Hadst thou thy wits and didst persuade revenge, it could not move thus.
You must sing a down, and you call him a downer. Oh, how the wheel becomes it. It is the false steward that stole his master's daughter.
This nothing's more than matter.
There's rosemary. That's for remembrance. Pray you, love, remember. And there is pansies. That's for thoughts.
A document in madness. Thoughts and remembrance fitted.
There's fennel for you and columbines. There's rue for you. And here's some for me. We may call it Herb of Grace of Sundays. You must wear your rue with a difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all. father died. They say you made a good end. For bonny sweet Robin is all my joy.
Thought and affliction, passion, hell itself, she turns to favour and to prettiness.
And will I not come again? And will I not come again? No, no, he is dead. Go to thy deathbed. He never will come again. His beard was as white as snow, all flaxen was his paw. He is gone, he is gone, and we cast away moan. God have mercy on his soul. And of all Christian souls, goodbye you.
Ophelia leaves.
Do you see this? Oh, God!
Laertes, I must commune with your grief, for you deny me right. Go but apart. Make choice of whom your wisest friends you will, and they shall hear and judge twixt you and me. If by direct or by collateral hand they find us touched, we will our kingdom give, our crown, our life, and all that we call ours to you in satisfaction. But if not, be you content to lend your patience to us, and we shall jointly labour with your soul to give it due content.
Let this be so. His means of death, his obscure funeral, no trophy, sword, nor hatchment o'er his bones, no noble rite, nor formal ostentation, cry to be heard as 'twere from heaven to earth, that I must call it in question.
So you shall. And where the offence is, let the great axe fall. I pray you, go with me.
The king and Laertes leave. Act 4, Scene 6. Horatio's rooms. Enter Horatio and a gentleman.
What are they that would speak with me?
Seafaring men, sir. They say they have letters for you.
Let them come in.
The gentleman leaves.
I do not know from what part of the world I should be greeted if not from Lord Hamlet.
Two sailors enter.
God bless you, sir.
Let him bless thee too.
He shall, sir, and please him. There's a letter for you, sir. It came from the ambassador that was bound for England. If your name be Horatio, as I am let to know it is.
Horatio is handed a letter. He reads.
Horatio, when thou shalt have overlooked this, give these fellows some means to the king. They have letters for him. Ere we were 2 days old at sea, a pirate of very warlike appointment gave us chase. Finding ourselves too slow of sail, we put on a compelled valour, and in the grapple I boarded them. On the instant they got clear of our ship, so I alone became their prisoner. They have dealt with me like thieves of mercy, but they knew what they did. I am to do a good turn for them. Let the king have the letters I have sent, and repair thou to me with as much speed as thou wouldst fly death. I have words to speak in thine ear will make thee dumb, yet are they much too light for the bore of the matter. These good fellows will bring thee where I am. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern hold their cause for England. Of them I have much to tell thee. Farewell, he that thou knowest thine, Hamlet. Come, I will give you way for these your letters, and do it the speedier that you may direct me to him from whom you brought them.
Horatio and the sailors leave. Act 4, Scene 7. A room in Elsinore Castle. Claudius and Laertes enter.
Now must your conscience my acquittance seal, and you must put me in your heart for friend. Sith you have heard, and with a knowing ear, that he which hath your noble father slain pursued my life.
It well appears. But tell me why you proceeded not against these feats so crimeful and so capital in nature, as by your safety, wisdom, all things else, you mainly were stirred up?
Oh, for two special reasons, which may to you perhaps seem much unsinued, but yet to me they're strong. The Queen, his mother, lives almost by his looks, and for myself, my virtue or my plague, be it either which, she is so conjunctive to my life and soul, that as the star moves not but in his sphere, I could not but by her. The other motive why to a public count I might not go is the great love the general gender bear him, who, dipping all his faults in their affection, work like the spring that turneth wood to stone, convert his gibes to graces, so that my arrows, too slightly timbered for so loud a wind, would have reverted to my bow again, and not where I had aimed them.
And so have I a noble father lost, a sister driven into desperate terms, whose worth, if praises may go back again, stood challenger on mount of all the age for her perfections. But my revenge will come.
Break not your sleeps for that. You must not think that we are made of stuff so flat and dull that we can let our beard be shook with danger and think it past time. You shortly shall hear more. I loved your father, and we love ourselves, and that, I hope, will teach you to imagine...
A messenger enters with letters.
How now? What news?
Letters, my lord, from Hamlet. These to your majesty, this to the queen.
From Hamlet? Who brought them?
Sailors, my lord, they say. I saw them not. They were given me by Claudio. He received them off him that brought them.
Laertes, you shall hear them. Leave us.
The messenger leaves.
High and mighty, you shall know I am set naked on your kingdom. Tomorrow...